The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from teenvogue.com. Our first article today, Wednesday, Season 2, release date, trailer, cast, and more. And this article was written by Caitlin McNabb. It's not the end. Wednesday, Season 2 is officially on the way, outcasts. ICYMI, everyone's favorite sadistic big sis, finally got her own TV series. Netflix's Wednesday, the streamer's newest live-action show all about Wednesday Addams of the Addams Family, came straight from the deliciously twisted mind of Tim Burton, and the show's first season premiered in late November 2022. 20-year-old Jenna Ortega is the latest actress to step into the black-and-white attire of Wednesday Addams, and her modern version of the character can arguably brush shoulders with Yellowjackets star Christina Ricci's beloved, iconic portrayal of Wednesday from the early 90s. The gothic, death-obsessed teen and her macabre-loving family are back in the spotlight, and we truly can't get enough. By the finale in Episode 8, we receive many satisfying and, TBH, shocking answers to the mysteries Wednesday is wrapped up in for the season's entire arc. But we're left with a lot of questions, too. No spoilers, but will Redacted return after escaping custody? Is Wednesday still in danger? Who sent her that Redacted? What will happen to Redacted now that Redacted is dead? Below, we've gathered a complete guide to everything we do know so far about Wednesday Season 2, including the next installment's release date, plot details, cast info, trailer, and more. Wednesday Season 1 debuted on Netflix on November 23, 2022, to popular and critical acclaim. The show broke record after record in its first full week on the streaming platform. Variety reports that Wednesday was watched for almost 6 billion minutes during its first 5 days available, becoming the second biggest week of streaming ever recorded by Nielsen, only behind Stranger Things 4. On January 6, 2023, Netflix announced the show's renewal. Wednesday Season 2 is coming. The day before the announcement, Netflix teased fans with a clip of the titular character sitting at her typewriter. "The end," she types. The renewal news is finally confirmed with a video from Netflix that featured a mashup of clips from Season 1, videos of fans from around the world, and a new voiceover from Wednesday herself. The showrunners of the new coming-of-age series have already teased their storytelling plans to continue the Wednesday universe. While speaking to TV Line, co-showrunners Miles Millar and Al Goff revealed that they planned Wednesday storylines as far out as 4 seasons. "We felt like we just touched the surface with those characters, and the actors are so amazing in those roles," Millar said. He also acknowledged that the show's focus on Wednesday Addams and her journey to forge her own path outside the family is important, but that the writer's room would definitely be interested in featuring more of the Addams family dynamic in future seasons. "For us, it's always looking at the future, and when we sit down to create a show, it's looking at multiple seasons, ideally," Millar also shared to Variety. "That's never expected, but that's the anticipation that hopefully the show is successful. So you always lay out at least 3 or 4 seasons worth of potential storylines for the characters. It can evolve and change. Often, you want to see which characters or cast pop and who you like to write for. So you want to keep it open and organic enough to change it and evolve. But we certainly have a pretty clear runway of what we want to do in future seasons." The visual effects team for Wednesday told J14 which characters they would like to explore more in the second season. At the top of that list, Thing. I think it would be fantastic to explore what may have happened to lead him to be severed, possibly, said Lon Molnar, co-president of the Mars VFX team. They also expressed that they'd be excited to do anything with that character front and center. We're ready to take the helm and help him tell that story, said Molnar. We're open to anything. Mars VFX producer Casey Sinsick shared that further developing Uncle Fester's character is also something the team would be interested in. The work that we did with Fred Armisen's character was pretty minor, said Sinsick. It was the electricity effects that he used, but I would love to see him be a bigger part of the show in season two. Series star Jenna Ortega also has some ideas about what she'd like to see from her character, Wednesday, in future seasons. I kind of want her to be darker, Jenna told Entertainment Tonight on November 30th. I want her to get more in the nitty-gritty of things and not play things so safe, because there are a lot of lines about her saving the school and doing whatever, but for me, her main drive with the monster is of a competitiveness, kind of, man, how's this guy doing this? I think I want it to continue down an anti-hero stream rather than a typical hero, added Jenna. We definitely want that too. Cross your fingers and Thing's fingers. Is there a trailer for Wednesday Season 2? At the moment, there is no trailer for Wednesday Season 2. Let's keep manifesting, shall we? What is Wednesday about? Wednesday has been called a unique mix of fantasy, horror, mystery, comedy, but has been described first and foremost as a coming-of-age series. The 8-episode first season followed Wednesday Adams's first year as a student at Nevermore Academy. The first chapter of Wednesday's story depicted her attempts to master her emerging psychic ability, thwart a monstrous killing spree that has terrorized the local town, and solve the supernatural mystery that embroiled her parents 25 years ago, all while navigating her new and very tangled relationships at Nevermore. The Wednesday Season 1 finale ended with multiple cliffhangers and a massive twist, so there's definitely more to explore, and many questions that need answering in the second season. Who plays Wednesday Adams in Wednesday? Jenna Ortega was cast in the show's titular role back in May 2021. She posted a photo of herself on Instagram holding the pilot's script with the caption, "New chapter, hope I can do Wednesday Adams justice. Snaps twice." A little over a year later, Netflix finally released a first look at Jenna's transformation into the character, and she's terrifyingly unrecognizable as Wednesday Adams. In photos released by Netflix, Jenna can be seen wearing Wednesday's signature white-collared, long-sleeve black dress, her long braided pigtails, her strikingly pale complexion, and her apathetically gaunt expression. Jenna's metamorphosis into the character is so perfect, it's almost scary. Well, I guess that's the point, right? In November 2022, Jenna Ortega sat down with Teen Vogue for her very own episode of Character Study. Jenna opened up about what it took to become Wednesday Adams and shared behind-the-scenes tidbits about her transformation. I kind of felt like I was being pranked or something, Jenna told Teen Vogue, of the moment she got an email from Tim Burton saying he was interested in meeting her for the part. The role was a match made in heaven for Jenna, who says she was compared to Wednesday her entire life. Because I'm very dry, and I don't think people can tell when I'm being serious or when I'm being sarcastic. And I didn't think it was that bad until we were on set sometimes, and Tim might say, "Ugh, that was dark," Jenna said in the video with a smile. Jenna was seriously dedicating to becoming Wednesday, previously sharing with Netflix that she took fencing lessons and cello lessons twice a week to prepare for the role and changed her walking style. Jenna revealed even more of her physical and mannerism changes to Teen Vogue. I think my posture has improved immensely since working on that job because I always made sure I had a straight back. I didn't move my hands or arms much if I didn't have to, said Jenna. At some point during the first couple weeks of shooting, I did a take where I did not blink at all, and Tim Burton said, "I don't want you to blink anymore." Weird mannerisms, we try to incorporate things like that. When collaborating with series creator Tim Burton to create a new version of Wednesday Addams, Jenna was game to try anything. We've never seen Wednesday as a teenage girl. She shared that when it came to Wednesday's appearance, Tim was peculiar and specific about the look, striving for hair distinction from previous versions of Wednesday. We tried silver streaks in my hair, short, tiny braids, really long, thick braids. We just tried all different variations, and at some point the hairdresser, he brought out a clip of fringe, said Jenna. The fringe bangs were on the right track for Wednesday's look, but it wasn't perfect until Jenna made a suggestion. Hey, maybe just cut my actual hair. Jenna's take on the iconic character is all-encompassing. She cut her hair, changed her posture, learned new skills, and even slowly started becoming Wednesday. I think a big part of Wednesday's color, some of it does play in filter. There was a little bit of makeup, but I spent so much time in Romania and it was winter that it got to a point where they used to put makeup on my hands and things like that, and they just stopped, Jenna said with a laugh. I lost all melanin. Who else is in the cast of Wednesday? The cast of Wednesday Season 1 included Chicago star Catherine Zeta-Jones as Addams Family matriarch Morticia Addams, Narcos actor Luis Guzman as Gomez Addams, and Isaac Ordonez as Wednesday's little brother Pugsley. The rest of the cast is rounded out by main and supporting actors Fred Armisen, Ricky Lindholm, Jamie McShane, Hunter Duhon, Georgie Farmer, Musa Mustafa, Emma Myers, Naomi J. Ogawa, Joy Sunday, Percy Hines-White, Gwendoline Christie, and Christina Ricci in a multi-layered role. This post will continue to be updated as more news about Wednesday Season 2 breaks. Our next article, Stranger Things Season 5, release date, cast, trailer, and everything we know so far. And this article was written by Sarah Delgado and Caitlin McNabb. While speaking to Entertainment Weekly following Volume 2's release, actress Sadie Sink, who plays Max, opened up about the agonizing scene of Max's death and her character's future in the show. It really is just so sad, Sadie told EW. When you're putting yourself in that moment, and then you're with someone like Caleb, who I've known since I was very little, sometimes things can feel very real on that set. It was very emotional. It's just so heartbreaking. When asked about Max's fate, however, EW reports that Sadie was quick to point out that Max has a pulse and is technically still alive and present in the show. I'm not sure where we're going and what Max's state is. It's definitely all up in the air right now, said Sadie. I'm just as excited as everyone else to find out where Max is and how she's doing. Vecna's fate is also up in the air. Jamie Campbell-Bauer, who portrayed this season's villain Vecna/Henry/1, also hinted at a S5 return to EW, noting the scene where Vecna should be dead, but suddenly disappears. On August 29th, JCB opened up further to NME, teasing that Vecna will most likely be back for Season 5. And he'll be back with a hell of a vengeance. He's pissed. He's properly vexed, said JCB. I don't think he's slunk off licking his wounds in misery. He's rebuilding, and he's out for blood. It's like, you've really effing pushed the buttons now, that classic Jason Voorhees, the iconic killer in Friday the 13th thing. You've made a big mistake. Though Jamie still hasn't confirmed whether he signed on for multiple seasons, Will's mention to Mike that he could still feel Vecna's presence during the finale is almost confirmation enough. I think Vecna and Will will have a connection that's yet to be explored, continued JCB. As a fan, I'd be interested to see more of that. Will new characters be introduced in Stranger Things Season 5? While speaking to IndieWire in August, the Duffer brothers broke down their rationale behind bringing new characters on the show. Whenever we introduce a new character, we want to make sure that they're going to be an integral part of the narrative, Ross said. So that's something with Eddie in Season 4, where we go, well, we need a character here for this storyline to really work and to give it the engine that is needed. But every time we do that, we're nervous because you go, we've got a great cast of characters here and actors, and any moment we're spending with a new character, we're taking time away from one of the other actors. So we're just very, very careful about who we're introducing. Ross and Matt went on to praise the adaptability and performances of actors brought on the series after Season 1, like Joseph Quinn, Sadie Sink, Maya Hawke, and Dacre Montgomery. Though they avoid introducing multiple new core characters in a given season, the Duffer brothers admitted that new characters can bring fresh ideas, just like new plot devices or new creatures to battle. Our next article, on Velma, Mindy Kaling, and whether brown girls can ever like ourselves on TV. And this article was written by Sakena Syed. And there's a note. In this op-ed, writer Sakena Syed unpacks HBO's new show, Velma, and the trend of appearance-based jokes about brown girls on TV. One of the many changes to Mystery Inc. in HBO's adult horror comedy reboot, Velma, is the titular character's ethnicity. Velma Dinkley, voiced by Mindy Kaling, is now South Asian. At face value, it might seem like an innocuous or even distinctly positive change. But in tandem with the release of the first two episodes came scenes that spoke otherwise. So far, the only material Velma's newfound brown skin has brought to the series are punchlines about her appearance. The character is an unwelcome successor to a tired pop culture legacy of relentlessly deriding brown girls for their appearance. Minutes in, the show is littered with quips about Velma's appearance. In an early scene, two cops joke about her hairy gorilla arms and her weight. Later on, Velma struts into school with a makeover. For a split second, her classmates respect her. You're not a total dog anymore, says one character. It might be funny in an alternate universe where this hasn't been done to death in dozens of shows and movies. But in the world of South Asian Velma, somehow the jab is still expected to land. Perhaps at this point it seems like a given. The joke about the ugly brown girl never gets old. Growing up as a young brown girl in the early 2000s, I was no stranger to feelings of insecurity. It's funny now, but when I was 10 years old, I took a pair of kitchen scissors to my eyebrows, snipping away haphazardly. I was desperate to do something about an ethnic feature that every piece of media seemed to equate with ugliness. Shockingly, it didn't work. But this wouldn't be the last time I was made to feel as though my natural features, from my skin to my hair and beyond, were inherently wrong. And I wasn't alone. Velma is the newest member of a seemingly infinite roster of brown girl characters whose presence is inextricable from revulsion for their ethnic features. Before Velma, we had clips of Bella from The Sex Lives of College Girls triumphantly announcing her transformation from the Indian loser with cystic acne, sweaty armpits, and glasses, or Devi in Never Have Ever praying to thin out her Indian barbershop floor arm hair in the first few seconds of the show. I'm not discounting the importance of messy storylines, imperfect characters, and complex arcs. Not all representation should be positive or aspirational. It would be juvenile to expect that every brown character on screen loves themselves and is viewed glowingly by those around them. But it's a little absurd that we're still being spoon-fed monologues and lists explicitly detailing the ugliness of South Asian features. Regardless of how the same scenes are being couched as edgy comedy with flawed heroines or arcs of internal growth, they just aren't landing. The only thing they're telegraphing loud and clear is internal racism. Hours after Velma's release, the internet was ablaze. Clips quickly circulated, and it became clear that the South Asian community is unimpressed with this recurring joke. But it also seemed like people universally disliked the show. Critique of the racist trope was quickly subsumed by discourse about the show's writing and a pile-on of backlash solely directed at Mindy Kaling, who executive produced the show and plays Velma, though notably she's not the showrunner and didn't write any episodes that have aired so far. It's undeniable that Kaling is an integral part of the conversation surrounding portrayals of brown women on screen. Writing for The Office, creating The Mindy Project, writing and starring in Late Night, co-creating and writing for both Never Have I Ever and The Sex Lives of College Girls, and executive producing and starring in Velma. She's played a massive role in advancing representation of brown women in Hollywood, and credit needs to be given where it's due. We might not have the luxury of the current brown girl renaissance without the steps she took. Her current work, like Never Have I Ever, often provides nuanced and positive portrayals of South Asian women too, platforming many brown women in varied roles. Many of these women, like Devi and Bella, also often show outright confidence. Personally, I enjoy a lot of what Kaling creates. She's a brilliant writer, and I've enjoyed her books and some of her work on screen. But her work is almost ubiquitous when it comes to comedic portrayals of brown women, which is a double-edged sword. Unfortunately, this means that the themes and tropes that run through her work also make the negative stereotyping also seem ubiquitous. No single story needs to be representative of an entire population, and creators have the right to tell their own messy, authentic stories. But that doesn't necessarily give artists license to make flawed content infinitely immune to critique. At some point, it becomes less about an individual creator's right to tell their story, and more about the need to critically engage with a multi-million-dollar pattern, one that seeps into society's perception of brown women in real life. But distilling the matter down to a Mindy problem is both reductive and unfair. Issues with representation of South Asian women ran rampant long before Kelly Kapoor or Mindy Lahiri could ever have existed. Decades passed in which brown women were barely seen on screen at all. Moreover, when brown men had the opportunity to make movies and shows like Aziz Ansari's Master of None or Kamail Nanjiani's The Big Sick, they often focused on seeking out white women over brown women. At times, they framed brown women as disposable or less appealing alternatives, which definitely contributed to perceptions of brown women as less appealing or desirable. There are discussions to be had and valid critiques to be made about each of these creatives' work, but internalized racism can't be attributed to a South Asian creator. It stems from real-world racism. Kaling didn't invent stereotypes about brown women. They were leveled against her long before she gained creative control. In her shows, she often satirized and parodied very real experiences. Amidst the backlash to her work, she's once again experiencing the same racism that people are complaining about in Velma, and worse. The film and TV industry have endlessly profited off of Eurocentric standards that erase and degrade brown women. Long before brown showrunners, filmmakers, and actors gained some level of agency, Hollywood has profited off of the mockery of South Asian people. Hundreds of movies and shows featured an ever-present brown supporting character meant to serve as comic relief by virtue of their mere existence, their accents, their hair, their skin, their traditions. Maybe initially it seemed easier to laugh at ourselves, to tell the jokes before someone else did. Maybe that made them sting a little less. Perhaps it felt like regaining control of a narrative we had no part in creating. Just because these experiences are a lived reality doesn't mean they're our only reality. Jokes about the ugly brown girl and the brown girl glow up do not need to be parroted on screen forever. As South Asian creatives finally gain opportunities and platforms, we also have a responsibility to critically analyze what is being sold to millions of people. As Maitreyi Ramakrishnan told us in her 2021 cover story, we need more stories. We need more storytellers. We can't just keep relying on Mindy Kaling to keep making all these shows. I want her to keep making more, but I need more people with her. Regurgitating racist tropes like in Velma will eventually result in them being inextricable from portrayals of brown women in pop culture. The last thing we need is a self-fulfilling prophecy for a new generation. 1,000 more TikToks about the brown girl glow up, in which brown women discuss the shame and embarrassment they associate with their childhood appearances and ethnic features. Who made us feel this way? Who benefits from endless jokes about brown women having hairy gorilla arms? Ultimately, it only serves to prop up Eurocentric white supremacist beauty standards, which certainly don't need any help. Only very recently have we begun to see new creators and characters gain the limelight, from Ms. Marvel to Wedding Season to Bridgerton and beyond. For once, we're empowered to ask for more and better. There are new jokes to tell, one where brown girls' body aren't the punchline. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.